2 weeks. It took me 2 weeks between learning your name and finding myself in your office. I had a knot in my stomach that not even Alexander the Great could undo. But I needed help. There was someone missing. And even if my gut was all twisted up, it still told me maybe you could help. So there I was, staring at a frosted glass window with your name on it. Big block letters starting to crack up just a little, like I'd been doing all week. Did I knock? Did I just walk right in? Or maybe I was just barking up the wrong tree. It wasn't too late, I told myself. I could do a 180, go back to my place, lose the high heels, and just accept that this was how things were going to be from now on. I was just about to go back to my life when I heard you say, "Come in," from the other side of the door. I could feel my shoulders getting stiffer than the drinks at the casino, but I was already here. No point in turning back now. The office was controlled chaos, through and through. From the looks of the secretary's desk, she'd quit on you months ago. Just an empty chair and a dusty typewriter, all surrounded by a jumble of papers and folders. I couldn't tell if it was random or if you just had a system for sorting them. Tell the truth? Neither would have surprised me. There was a table off in the corner, full of takeout boxes and empty bottles. You and Whiskey seem to be close friends. Not that I could judge. We've all got our vices. Some people are just better at hiding them. Then there was you. Probably 3 days since the last time you saw a razor. Probably 3 weeks since that coat on your rack had been to the cleaners. I could tell you were checking me out. Maybe you liked what you saw. Maybe you were just trying to figure out how much to pad the bill. And maybe I was checking you out, too. I sat down across from you, pretending not to notice the whiskey on the rocks at 10 in the morning, or the cigarette burns on your tie. Those shoulders told me there was a time you used to take care of yourself. If I was going to guess, you'd stopped right around the time the secretary's desk turned on the vacancy sign. You asked what you could do for me. I just let that thought dangle in the air for a moment, like a downed power line, making a spark in the room. I said, "I'm looking for somebody." And I told you, maybe you could help. "No promises," you said, sounding just as rehearsed as a lounge act. I thought for a second, then told you what I knew. I had it all once. A good man with a good heart. The one day, he just wasn't there anymore, taken from me. And lately, I've been feeling as empty as the other side of my bed. You tried to hide it, but I saw your eyebrow raise. Then you put up a cold front, asked me what other details I had, who would want to kidnap him, and why I was talking to you instead of the flatfoots at the station. I told you I knew exactly who took him. Only he wasn't kidnapped. He left me to twist in the wind like forgotten laundry, packed up a suitcase and moved in with 5'3" of dumb homewrecker. Traded me in for something younger and less practical. So, I wasn't exactly interested in getting him back either. I could hear the question before you even asked it. "So why'd you come to me?" I got up from my chair and wiped the dust off my pencil skirt. Honestly, not my usual style, but I figured a guy like you would enjoy the sight. "It's the other problem," I mentioned. I told you. "It's my cold, empty bed." And immediately, there was the cold front again. Your face almost changed, but you forced yourself to glacier up. So I got a bit closer. My pulse was beating out a Buddy Rich solo, but I'd come this far. I undid the top button of my blouse. Suddenly, all that ice melted. Only instead of turning to heat, I got something else. You stood up, took a step back from your desk. I tried to get closer, but you pulled back. Hesitated. Probably didn't trust me. And who could blame you? In your line of work, you probably get stabbed in the back more times than a pincushion. But I wasn't gonna leave until I had shown you all my cards. So there went another button. Took another step closer. All you gotta do is say no, I told you, and you'll never see me again. I didn't hear a no. Not yet. Instead, you wanted to know why you. Told me all I'd get is the stink of whiskey and a lot of regret. It would be a big mistake. I said I was a big girl, old enough to make my own mistakes. And I like whiskey more than I liked my ex's cigar stink. I said, sure, maybe you're a bit damaged. But maybe so am I. After all, I'm in a stranger's office putting half my tits on display like a fossil at the Smithsonian. Your guard dropped just a little. I thought about my third button, but now it was my turn to freeze up. Then I heard the magic words come right out of your mouth. I haven't said no yet. While I still had the courage in me, I lost the blouse and started to work at the zipper in my skirt. You gave me one last chance to back out. Asked me if this was really what I wanted. The second before I opened my lips felt like an eternity. Sure, I could leave now. Go back to my job downstairs at the automat, scrubbing plates and fishing slugs out of coin slots, pretending we don't notice each other when we walk past. And maybe it'd still end up that way if we went down this road. But they always say it's better to regret what you did than what you didn't do. I tried to do your icy thing. Probably sounded more chilly than icy as I shivered through the words. Of course this is what I want. You put your hand under my chin and kissed me. Gotta say, I wasn't expecting that. But I didn't exactly mind, if you catch my drift. Your stubble scratched my lips a bit, but I said I was going down this road, and I meant it. No putting the car in reverse now. Your other hand reached around and unhooked my bra. I tried not to laugh into your lips, but that took me by surprise a little. Firstly, a lot of guys fumble, even with two hands. Second, because for all your cool exterior, you were eager. I could tell. I can't remember who took off what next. All I remember is feeling the cold edge of your desk against my bare ass, while my clothes lay in a heap on your floor. You were almost naked, only I thought it'd be kind of cute to put your hat on you. Our hands were all over each other like we were looking for lost car keys. Not that either of us had any pockets at that point. And we'd only stopped kissing long enough to catch our breaths. My hand went searching downstairs and found exactly what it was looking for. You were already as hard as the MCAT test. But I wanted to let you know I meant business. I stroked slowly and found myself trying not to laugh yet again. There you were, still trying to put the icicles on, while at the same time making these adorable grunts and grimaces that a well-stroked cock can bring out. And so, I have to admit, I played you like an instrument for a few minutes. Stroke this way, tough guy. Stroke that way, you drop the act. I think at a certain point you realized I was playing with you in more ways than one. But I don't think you had any complaints. You told me to lay back on the desk, put your hands on my shoulders and coax me back a little. You didn't push, though. Stopped just short of that. Like you suddenly remembered your manners. but I was ready for the main event, so back I went. I didn't care that it wasn't a bed, that my back was on months of case files and photos and overdue bills. I just needed what I needed. Imagine my surprise when a whiskey-soaked tongue found its way right onto my love button. You seemed a little too good at that. But also, it would have been rude to interrupt. My eyes wanted to close, but they were wide open with pleasant surprise. My ex had hit the road a year ago, but it had been far longer since he'd gone downstairs on me. So I wasn't exactly about to ask you why you knew how to yodel so well in my valley. I was just getting into a rhythm when you decided your fingers needed to join the party. My legs were on your shoulders, your mouth playing me like a harmonica. And your fingers were just about to work their magic when suddenly a thought popped into my head. I didn't want to kill the mood, but I blurted out, "Is the office door locked?" You said not to worry. I'm the first person in weeks to set foot inside. You stood back up. Have to say I was a bit disappointed, but I guess I'm the one who interrupted your maestro performance. Your soldier was still standing at attention and needed some R&R. I scooted my ass just a bit closer to the edge of the desk. I slipped just a little, thanks to the paper trail now sticking to my ass. The second you entered me, you were off to the races. Like you were trying to get to the finish line before the bets were even in. With how I was feeling at that moment, I probably could have beaten you to the winner's circle. But I told you to slow down. What's the hurry? So you did. Maybe a bit too slow. Less hare, more tortoise. I guess I got what I asked for, but even then, you were good. Exactly what I needed, and more. Your hands clamped down on my hips like they owed you money. You gave me one good, hard thrust, and I dropped an F-bomb so loud the whole floor probably knew what kind of consultation you were giving me. Now we were both laughing. All that ice finally started to melt off you. Only made me happier I came into the office. And you didn't miss a beat. Eventually, we found a good rhythm together. Something we could both harmonize on. Something we could both build on. I could feel myself getting close to the big finish, but it was too early to tell. After a year of self-service, I'd gotten used to false alarms. Still, the bedfellow in my top bunk doesn't grab my hips or grunt or give me the kind of attention you were giving me. Sure, he may never get tired of me, but I needed something a bit more real. So I shut my eyes, put my hands on the parts of me that jiggle, and I just tried to concentrate. The fireworks started almost immediately. I was feeling things I hadn't felt in years. I put a hand over my mouth. No need to wake the neighbors again. Didn't stop another salvo of F-bombs, but it did silence them just a bit. You were finally getting close to the big finish, too. Your eyes were half closed. Sweat was coming from under the hat. Oh, why did you still have that hat on? Maybe you thought it was a kink. But I wasn't in a place to tell you that I was just having a little fun. Almost as soon as I crossed the finish line, I felt you pulling out. Before I knew it, you were giving yourself a hand, maybe for a job well done. Then you made a Jackson Pollock out of my stomach. And judging by the amount of paint you had, it'd probably been a while since anyone had tended to your needs. I laid there for a while, looking at the totality of the situation. I imagined how we must look if someone were to walk in, the two of us completely naked, except for you wearing that ridiculous hat and me wearing a fresh coat of your man batter. You were panting like a mastiff in a hot car, and I was staring wide-eyed at the ceiling, trying to think of something to say. You tossed a towel next to me on the desk and asked if I had gotten what I wanted. I could tell. The cold front was up again. and that towel probably could have used a wash. As I tried to clean myself as well as I could, you were already handing me my clothes, repeating yourself again. "I don't want to get mixed up with a guy like you," you told me. "You're damaged goods." And there was that line again. I'd be making a horrible, horrible mistake. It was kind of hard to keep my dignity when I've got your love juice stuck to my front half and last week's sports section stuck to my back. I tried to keep a straight face, but you saw through me like a cheap set of nylons. I don't know if it was pity or compassion or... well, it doesn't matter. But you asked if I knew how to type. It wasn't the biggest olive branch, but I'd take it. "Sure," I said. "How about phones? Can I take messages?" "How hard could it be?" I asked. "How about coffee?" you asked. I told the truth. That percolator in the corner has a date with a garbage truck, but get something better and I can manage. I quit the automat and took that secretary gig 4 years ago today. Sometime last year, you slipped a ring on my finger. Wasn't the flashiest, but it suited me just fine. And tomorrow, we're putting on our Sunday best and saying our I do's. Anyone asks how we met, I just tell them we worked a case together. Was it a mistake walking into that office? If it was, I've done dumber things with worse people. Far as I'm concerned, you were the best mistake of my life.